Hello, everyone. I wanted to share an updated testimony. I know the very first episode of this podcast was a bit of my story with mental health. As the weeks were leading up to my 40th birthday, I did a lot of reflecting. Well, I'm always doing reflecting, but there was a lot on my heart and a lot of gratitude for reaching 40. I know a lot of people don't get that far, so I'm going to read to you what I wrote up. Okay. I've made it to 40. I can hardly believe it, but I know in my heart it is a miracle of God's doing. As I have begun to experience the side effects of aging physically, I constantly remind myself what a privilege it is to age. Many I have known were never able to have this gift. Characteristic of me, my 40th birthday comes with deep reflections and a review of just some of the things that I have learned in this life so far. This past summer, I had one amazing breakthrough. So exhausted from trying so hard to be happy, I just felt utterly spent. Through tears, I told my husband, I'd need to be happy, or who would want to stick around me? He answered, I do. It was my husband answering, but I also heard an echo deep in my spirit. It was from the Lord. The Lord too wants to be with me and never leave my side. He has stuck by me through my whole life, and in the years of my battle, struggle, fight with depression and other mental health issues, I am so thankful for the love of God and how he displays his love, kindness, grace, mercy, comfort, and other rich treasures through the people he brings into my life. A longtime fan of Beatles music, I recently revisited the song In My Life. I resonate with that song as a believer, walking out my journey of faith with Jesus. I so often think of people, circumstances, situations, and life experiences that are current as well as past and perhaps future. As far back as I can remember, it seems that my glasses, quote unquote, have been the opposite of rose-colored. They have been blue-colored. I have tried my best to fight that, but it is my natural bent. I have prayed it away, confessed it, tried to fake it, not claim it, etc., etc. But for some reason, this just is my default. I will continue to surrender myself to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit nonetheless, in hopes that one day this will no longer be part of who I am, if that is what the Lord has for me on this side of eternity. There have been some benefits and purposes to this way of being. It allows me empathy and understanding. I view life as a very fragile thing. I see the beauty in life, but I see the pain and tragic nature of things first. We can have something 1 minute, but it can be gone the next. Living this life is, on one hand, an honor, but on the other hand, seems like some sort of holding pattern. My favorite book in the Old Testament is Ecclesiastes. While many find it depressing, I find it refreshing. It's like someone views the world, this life, the same way that I perceive it, and that is encouraging. I have discussed in some of my poetry about my swing set as a child. I did some of my best thinking and imagining on the swing set. Some thoughts I remember. Seeing the faded moon in the daytime sky and being very confused about that, deeply pondering creation through the stars, the sun, and moon, so forth. Wondering if I dug a tunnel, if I could get to the other side of the world, and I wanted to be the first person to do that. It would be great to run away to different places whenever I felt like it. Imagining if there was another me in another part of the world, in some type of other dimension. Perhaps I should have written about the multiverse as a kid, and maybe I would have become rich off my story idea, as Marvel did. My next door neighbor was a little boy, just a little older than me, and I considered him my friend. I found out one day that I could no longer say hi to him through the fence of my backyard. He had gone on vacation with his family, and as he was playing on a sidewalk, a drunk driver accidentally went into the sidewalk and ran him over. I thought that was really, really sad. I wondered where he was now. I really fixated on that for quite some time, and I might have only been maybe 5 years old. I had a wild imagination too, which served me well when difficult things were taking place in my young life that I had no control over. I would tell my friends that I actually was a real-life Little Mermaid as a 7 or 8 year old. I would change into a mermaid in my closet, and my closet would transport me to the sea. They would be annoyed with me, but I said they couldn't see it happen because of their unbelief. I myself was convinced this was true. I often lived in a fantasy world in my head. I thought my reality was sad, maybe even boring. I was bullied for being overweight, but all I wanted to do was eat myself with sugar because that gave me some tiny bit of happiness. My mom had a boss who accidentally ran over his son while backing up his car. I remember also thinking this was really, really sad and fixated on this for a while. It made me really upset. We had a family friend who died of AIDS and left behind a wife and 2 daughters. I thought this was disgustingly tragic, even at my young age. I can go on and on and on with stories of all the things I would find sad. I would fixate on these things, and these things would make me very mad and scared. I developed a fear of death. I really thought at any moment I or someone I loved could die, and I was just in perpetual sadness. There are so many details of my childhood experiences that come to mind. Other things that I witnessed as well. I'd have to save that for a separate account and keep to the purposes of this brief flyover of my life. But these events and happenings all contributed to my negative and sad view of things. Painful experiences, although not perhaps what some might consider life-altering or traumatic, felt very heavy for me as a child. Constant little things that seemed to gnaw away at my spirit and pile up my sadness. Mental fantasies and escapism were most definitely my coping mechanisms. At 10, I was very overweight, angry, and miserable. I only had a couple of friends because who would really want to be around that? I'm not even sure how I was able to have those few friends. I was very grateful for a few constants in my life, like my grandma, who loved me dearly, and my childhood room, which was the same room I lived in from the day I came home from the hospital until the day I got married. I remember finding joy in singing, acting, and performing, though I lacked confidence to do these things in front of others. Overall, there was just a general sense of sadness as a theme with small moments of relief. High school was, of course, as you'd imagine, no better for my mental or emotional state. Most of my private school friends went to private high school, and that made me resentful that I had to go to public school. A classmate that sat in front of me passed away in a drunk driving accident in my junior year. He was there one day in front of me and not the next. I didn't understand this sad, scary life. Friendships in high school were a struggle for me as well. My main goal was just to find my future husband, so I dated a lot and got dumped a lot for my principles and values. It was hurt after hurt, and lots of breakups to find my person. One in particular left me so heartbroken that I couldn't ever fathom recovering. Side note, I'm sure that's a typical teenage story. Although each breakup was unique, that one rejection felt heavier than I could bear. I started dealing with suicidal ideation throughout high school, but ironically, my fear of death and the reality of how fragile life was really was what kept me at bay before I learned about Jesus. I started having what I thought were heart issues at 16, but no doctor found a problem. My stomach was also an issue, but nobody ever found anything wrong, so to speak. They did so many medical tests and prescribed lots of medications, and I've tried so many throughout my life. I believe my mental issues caused most of my physical symptoms, but I did not know that at that time. Then at 17, I gave my life to Jesus. It was a sermon about being angry and giving it to God. I was so heavy from holding the burden of anger at life. I thought the Lord would fix me up with a magic wand, but that has not been my story. I would later become angry with God because he did not fix me like I hoped he would. I struggled, but he was always so patient, so merciful with me. I very slowly learned daily surrender, daily confession, moment by moment dependence, trust and faith over time. And I am still walking these out as he purifies my heart and mind as I allow. Lord, help me. Months after my baptism in October of 2000, I started dating my husband in April of 2001. I knew right away that he was the one. The Lord saved him as well, and his story is quite powerful in its own right. And it was faith building for me to witness it firsthand. We began our relationship in full-time ministry, serving the students in our church, singing on the worship team, teaching in the childcare center Monday through Friday. I began to see and understand that living in God's ways and purposes were what made life valuable for living. It didn't make life less tragic or sad to me, but it did allow me the brain space to see beauty and meaning. I discovered many of the true treasures of our existence during that time. We were married in December of 2004. Lots of growing up took place in those beginning years, but I still viewed life through my blue-colored glasses, and my husband loved me anyway. I feared one day he'd get tired and leave me. That was a fear that persisted for many, many years. We traveled and saw so much beauty. We did ministry together and experienced being used by God and the Holy Spirit working through us. My understanding of the Lord grew exponentially in those times, and I was drawn deeply to the Lord's side. I didn't think we would have kids until we were older. However, a couple at our church who was married 2 weeks before we did experienced a tragic loss. On his way to work, the husband was in a fatal car crash. This caused me to rethink everything about my plans. We discussed how special it was to us to have a symbol of our union and love in case anything happened to either one of us. So we decided to try and start a family. Our first daughter was born in 2008. I was both overjoyed and horrified. I went through an extremely difficult postpartum depression period. After that, many things started to happen in our church and within our extended family. More pain. That time actually all feels like one big blur. Again, this is a long and detailed story in its own right, so I won't get into all of that. But we followed the Lord's leading to move away in 2010. And life has never been the same since. It's been a wild ride. The Lord added to our family in 2010, fresh after this massive move, and also in 2012. These absolutely precious blessings were priceless to me. We were in a strange land among what felt like foreigners. We were so broke, financially speaking, and so alone. My postpartum and mental health conditions were so completely fragile. I loved my babies and our little family with every fiber of my being, but I felt so overwhelmed and so scared every moment of every day. I felt like I couldn't even catch my breath from all the life that was just unraveling around us. I felt like someone would find out that I was some type of fraud, like I was unfit to be a mom because I was so fragile, and that I would somehow lose these precious angels at any moment. We also were not sleeping very much, and so we were both very exhausted. Amidst financial troubles, health issues, loneliness, church struggles, relational issues, I just felt so lost. The Lord was our only anchor. So many details. Wanting to go back home, therapy for sensory issues for our oldest, the one car issue, the piling up of bills, my health issues, as I mentioned, and other health emergencies in the family. I really know that we only survived by the grace of God. And there was beauty. The beach sunsets, even though I'm not a fan of the beach, really, they were beautiful. Visits from family that revived my soul. A friend who would help take our child to school. The overall health of our children, a marriage that refused to give up, people who would come and go from our lives but prayed with us and for us, the running career that I started. There was just a lot, so much pushing through. Being told that I couldn't go home was one of the most emotionally devastating things I experienced. In life, the things we find most difficult as adults is not being able to control what is happening to us. Feeling like I wasn't allowed to fix this possible mistake, even though originally we felt this was a command from God, or make it better in any way, that I felt spiritually and relationally would be best for us. But regardless of the reason, this left me so angered, hopeless, and bitter. This was felt on smaller levels throughout most of my adult life. That feeling like I couldn't control things. Not feeling like I was allowed to do what I wanted to do, really. Or how I saw it would be best. It left me feeling devalued and unsure of myself. Since the one or two things that I championed for didn't work out, I was then emotionally paralyzed to ever take any other risks. I have learned that there is so much falseness to our human eye reality. The truth is, we don't really have control or security or anything outside of what God deems. What we go through is all necessary for learning perseverance in the faith and further dependence on our God. God called us to move again in 2016. That was traumatic for our children to varying levels. I get most concerned when I think of how difficult it was for our middle child. But she is doing much better this year, here in 2023. All glory to God. But it has been a struggle here too. I would say that I have had several health issues, one after another, that arose just a few weeks after we arrived here, and continuing off and on over the course of these last 6 years. There were days and some nights, very memorable ones, that I didn't think I would make it to see the next day. There was also beauty. Beauty in simplicity. Beauty in quiet. Beauty in peacefulness. But it's a test of the will to focus on these things as beautiful. Finding and losing friendships and watching the change of seasons again. 2020 was hard on the majority of people. A reminder of the unpredictability, instability, and fragile nature of this life. We lost one of our dear friends suddenly, unexpectedly. And again, I fixated on that for a while. Even still, not too many days pass before I think of him and the family he left behind in his passing. Even in our faith, some things simply cannot offer us a befitting explanation. Some things we will never understand or grasp on this side of eternity. We must fight for our faith. Money doesn't come easy here, no matter how much we seem to try. A good balance of things is also hard to find. We live in surrender. We live on our knees. The Lord is all. I have been blessed with another breakthrough this year in being able to choose the work I have wanted to do. This season has brought freedom, healing, and joy to my life. He has been loud in my spirit to tell me I need to make space for serving him. We want to serve him because that is where the beauty and meaning is in this otherwise futile existence. I pray that my daughters can still see his matchless beauty in spite of my struggles. I pray the kids will understand from their depths about the treasures found in Christ alone. I pray that they will feel so well loved and supported by us two parents. I pray the Lord will give length to our days and be our sustainer through it all. I pray to be grandparents. I pray that my daughters will all serve the one true King. I pray their Heavenly Father has wonderful God-honoring men for them. I pray for fruitfulness throughout their lives. I pray the Lord will allow us as parents to be witness of these things. I pray the Lord will allow my blue-colored glasses to give me continued depth of perspective. But I also pray that he will birth joy in and through me and through our family. I desperately want there to be joy. By faith I submit it, and by faith I receive it. May I be as joyful as he wills me to be. May he remove any spirit that is not his own from me. May I be delivered, and may our family be delivered from chains of this world. May there be a legacy of joy for our family and our children and the children of our children and so on. Thank you for this wild, sad, exhausting, difficult, and beautiful roller coaster ride. May today, or my birthday as I wrote it on this day, mark the second half or beyond or whatever is left of my story. May I see life less blue, just a bit. Add beautiful shades to my vision. Father, be thou my vision. May I spread the truth of hope and godly sanctification to those who battle with lifelong depression and mental health issues. I want to receive your healing today. I look forward with peace and expectancy for what you will do and how you will use me in this second part of my life. May you continue to help me hold on, and may I be a part of helping others hold on. By your grace, may I be able to write another story 40 years from today that will bring you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for your patience and for rescuing me from the pit of despair over and over again these past 40 years. Thank you for the people who have loved me and continue to love me now. May I love them well in return. Thank you, Father, for being the author of my story. Thank you for all that you allow me to see. And thank you for protecting me from things that I don't even see. You are a good, faithful, great, and holy God, creator of the universe. I praise your name and honor you. If any part of my story resonated with you, my hope is that you will be inspired to keep fighting. Fight for as long as the Lord gives you breath. Don't give in. Don't give up. May he grant you the perseverance through his Holy Spirit for this battle. May you have the clarity to remember to surrender to him daily and press into him moment by moment. Lord bless you. Thanks for listening today. Until next time.